This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's News Talk 830 WCCO's Live Outdoors
with Ron Shera and Mike Max.
Yes, sir. Live Outdoors. Mike Max here in Beacon Studio. Ron Shera out in the... I don't know where he is.
Out
gallivanting in those outdoors, walking through cattails, climbing trees, trying to put his shotgun on the barbed wire fence so that he can cross effectively.
Waiting
with that in the past.
Waiting through.
As Ron says it's pretty painful.
Yeah, wading through duck sloughs and so on.
Yeah,
you know,
just to bring us the story.
Just to that's the main reason he's out there, to cobble together some kind of stories about the outdoors.
Yes. Give him a call, Susan, see if he's got... He may not even be in cell range because he'll go to the greatest lengths of this earth.
Where cell coverage hasn't gone before.
Where cell coverage hasn't gone.
Or what was the line from Star Trek? Where no man has gone before.
Yeah. Boldly going where no man has gone before.
Exactly.
Yeah, he could be out trying to slay a trout or a bass. He could be out trying to get... This is October. He could be pheasant hunting. He could be preparing to deer hunt. He could be planning an elk hunt. But one thing you can be rest assured, Ron is letting somebody else do the work because that's the way he is, man. He is the guide out there, the dogs, and he's always standing. I'll stand back. He's like Merlin Perkins in the Mutual of Omaha show. While you guys go out and slay the water buffalo, I'll be back at camp with a martini.
Yeah, exactly.
Is he here? Ron is here. Okay. Ron, I was just saying, man, you are the outdoorsman's outdoorsman, the man's man that goes out there. Nothing scares you. There is no fear of the outdoors. It doesn't matter if it's a tree to climb, a cliff to jump off of. You're there and willing.
Well, that's the way it used to be. Right now, the wind is howling out here in South Dakota about 40 to 50 miles an hour. The wind is coming down. The rain is coming down sideways. There's snow. Snow banks out here, they're disappearing, but they're disappearing because the rain is coming down in inches. And so some of the guys went out just to look around. I'm like what you just said. I stayed back here in this beautiful lodge and
made sure the martinis were done properly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ron, that doesn't sound like very conducive pheasant hunting conditions. I pause and I say, foremost. But I'm sure that you, with your wily ways and your veteran approach to this, will outsmart even Mother Nature.
Well, if you could shoot them out the window,
it would work. Just make sure to tell them to release them in a spot where you can find it.
In the garage.
You can't, the weather is what it is. But let me tell you, it was wild out here today.
That's wild weather, is right.
Yeah, we didn't even take up hunting today, but we're going to go out tomorrow morning. We're at Oak Tree Lodge. It's in Clark, South Dakota. Beautiful facility built by a guy from the Twin City area. And we've been here before. But I tell you what, this is still the opening 5 days of the South Dakota Pheasant Season. The opener was Saturday, the statewide opener. I feel sorry for the people from like Mississippi and Indiana that come up here because they might be here for 5 to 10 days. Your license is only good for 10 days, and this kind of weather, at least for the next few days, is not going to be conducive to.
How much snow was there out there?
Well, there's just some snow banks. I was shocked to see some white snow banks in the road distance. Not a lot, but here and there. And, of course, they're disappearing. But there's a lot of rain. I tell you, it's sad to look in the countryside. All the corn is still, most of it's still standing. Soybeans still out there. Water puddled up in the fields. Some of the fields, are tilled up, et cetera. They're black dirt, but they got water standing all over. It's at the moment, it looks very sad out there for a guy trying to make a living crawfish.
What about, are there many ducks or waterfowl with that kind of terrain?
Well, you know, I did see, as you drive out on 212, I saw some ducks flying. But I tell you, Maxie, by the time you saw them, they would be entering Nebraska.
That wind is that big?
Oh, gosh, it's out of the northwest here. It was just howling. I mean, you got to be careful opening your car door. The lodge here was catching some wind. If you didn't pay attention, you could ruin a door and break the window glass. It was bad. It was bad.
Really? 40, 50 mile per hour winds? Something like that? 40?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's why I'm glad you're out there hunting, because you can outsmart that. You've done this before. You know the Wily Ringneck, and you can match wits with him. And so I have great confidence in you tomorrow morning.
Well, you know me very well, Maxie. Thank you for that. Listen, last weekend was up north. It was maybe the last hurrah of October. I'm not sure. The weather was top 10 for a couple of days. One day a little bit more wind than you wanted, but still fishable. Saturday was just absolutely gorgeous. Nice little ripple there. Wolf Lake, Leech Lake, there people were catching some walleyes, including yours truly. What I saw in Wolf Lake was encouraging. Not only we caught some nice keeper walleyes, but I ended up letting them go. I just didn't want to miss it. We also caught a half a dozen or more walleyes, 10 to 11, 12 inches to 8 or 7 inches. That's a good sign. There's a young walleye coming up, and so that means, you know, a few years down the road, there'll be pretty good fishing there. So that was fun. And we caught some smallmouth bass, big ones. Never used a minnow. We're just using digging wraps. That was the fun part of it, too.
Was there a lot of a fair number of people out there fishing? Did you see or?
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, it was of course MEA weekend. There's always more people up north, and but the weather was just ideal. And yeah, there was a lot of people and others saying this is the last hurrah, and probably is. I brought my boat home, and don't know between this week out here in South Dakota. Don't know if I'll get it back in the water again, but. I've also seen deer season time. You know, deer season this year opened like around the 9th of November. If we're lucky, we could see a 60-degree day. Deer hunters don't want that. It's possible.
Yeah.
You know what? I think we're going to have to let Ron go, Susan, because his phone keeps breaking up. And like I said, I've given him his pep talk. I want pictures tomorrow morning by 10 a.m. because you – it doesn't matter the wind, the rain, the whatever. You are the postman of the outdoors. I know you will get it done, and we're counting on you.
Non-Photoshop photos, too.
Rest assured, you'll get some pictures. They might be from 10 years ago, but you'll get them.
The same ones I've got on file. Thanks, Rod.
Thanks.
Yeah, he sounded like he was underwater talking to us there.
Yeah. I don't know. That could be some of those effects. He might have some kind of app.
You're right, man. The veteran comes through, right?
Yeah. He might
give him a little of this and that and let him think that I'm reading the elements.
He's sitting there, sitting back, and has, you know, kind of muzzled little sounds going on and stuff like that.
Dip the ashes on the cigar and give the boys a little yarn to work with.
Yep, exactly.
Tell them what we got coming up next, Gary.
Well, we've got a couple of people coming up on board. They'll give us an idea of pheasant hunting in Minnesota. Which sounds a lot like it is where Ron is at.
Yeah, we can talk about this, but I mean, today driving in, and it just rained all day. I mean, these poor farmers have got to be.
Yeah,
have tractor ready. You might as well go to Florida for a while.
I drove down to Mankato last week, and there was a couple of days there where there was a break in the weather where it dried up, and boy, they were out there, 8, 9 o'clock, I'm sure late in the evening, trying to get as much in and done as what they could. But it kind of feels like it should really be on the verge of spring. I mean, the way this last winter, this spring, this summer has been, and now this fall, it almost seems like we missed it. Maybe I missed it. Did we have a summer this year?
It was different, wasn't it? All that water and all that stuff. And this weekend was beautiful in town.
Yeah, it was.
And one thing about being in Minnesota, you go, better jump on board of this one because we don't know. We're going to get it again. So we'll take a break, come back with our special guest again, Gary.
Scott Rawl from Worthington.
Scott Rawl from Worthington next on Live Outdoors. Welcome back, Live Outdoors. Ron talked about in South Dakota, it's affected Minnesota, too.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the best hunting season. Where do you find them when the crop's out there? Gary, tell us about our next guest.
Yeah, well, we've got a well-known expert from southern Minnesota, from the Worthington area, that's very active with Pheasants Forever. And he's been just taking out a bunch of veterans hunting over the opener. So kind of wanted to get an update from him on what he's seeing and what's going on in that area. Scott, are you there?
Scott Kroll, right? Scott, you there?
Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you doing?
I'm a 10.
Well, you,
you're
not building a boat or something like that, I was saying, like Noah, to handle all the, tell us what the status.
Yeah, did you get rain today, too?
We had an inch and 6/10 before I got up this morning.
That's a lot of rain.
Probably had another inch and some plus then.
Oh, boy.
About 45 miles an hour in Worthington, Minnesota.
Yeah.
We haven't got the wind here yet. We just got the rain.
Yeah, well, Ron was reporting in from South Dakota, and you know, it's the same thing there, and there was actually snow there. So I don't think...
We had snow on the opener, but we haven't had any since.
Yeah.
So where do you even begin with this? How do you even begin to try to hunt this right now?
Well, you know, it's the pheasant counts for the DNR roadside counts showed the statewide average was down 17%. And I was out driving around today. I take my mother for a wildlife ride every Monday. And so we were kind of checking things out. And right now the bean harvest is about half done. They normally come out first. The corn harvest is maybe 5% done. And with a brutal winter we had and a really bad spring we had, I thought that our pheasant counts were going to be pretty low. But we've been having really way, way better luck than most people would imagine. I went out on opener. We had 4 inches of snow and a big wind. And that Saturday, Sunday, most of the people in my group shot limits of birds that day.
Really?
Yep.
4 inches of snow on the opener?
We did.
Actually, that would have been good. Advantageous. Yeah. More better than the rain, right?
Well, I totally agree with that. I can hunt in about anything but a pouring rain or a 30-mile-an-hour wind.
And nor will they ever flush in that either. I mean, it's just about impossible.
I totally agree. When it's really windy, the birds can't tell exactly where you're at, and they get nervous and blast out early.
Yep. So how did you hunt? Were you hunting groves or picket fences? What did you do?
I normally spend about the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, although we have private spots. I spend the early part of the season on public lands, and we've been hunting on different public lands for the first week and a half or week and a few days, and the reports are coming in way better than I could have ever expected. You know, there's not much going on in the middle of the day. Those birds get up in the morning and go to cover, like, you know, hang out in the cornfields and stuff. But we've been walking public areas, not terribly heavy cover. And around the edges, we try to walk edges next to cornfields so that when those birds come out, they just glide out of the cornfield and kind of land in that first couple hundred yards of available cover.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're hunting perimeters, reports are very good.
Huh. How broad of an area you're down there in Worthington? Have you been talking to some people in other parts of the state and how they've been doing? Or?
Well, all parts of the state would probably include maybe the three counties that surround me. And all of those, that would be Jackson County, Murray County, Rock County. And the reports down here, I mean, nobody is saying, oh, I went out and, I mean, I did go out Saturday and Sunday, and in 20 minutes I was done. You know, but hunting in the middle of the day, there's you're putting on a lot of miles and a lot of boot weather and probably not seeing very much. But the cover down here is excellent. The public lands down here are in great shape. And a lot of young birds, so you have to be able to identify, you know, what gets up and make sure that they're a rooster, because most of them are probably, we had the first couple of days, like the ratio generally in a normal season is you shoot one old bird, a bird that made it from last year, for every 3 or 4 young birds. And so the ratio this year was probably 3 or 4 old ones for every new one, for every young one.
Hmm.
And that ratio has actually turned around the last couple of weeks, and now we're running about the norm, probably 3 birds that were hatched this season for 2 that made it through last year.
Now this rain, though, and whatnot, it's going to shut some things down for a bit. First of all, a word of warning and caution, don't think you can just travel the back roads after a big rain, because that's the easiest way to get that pickup truck. And I don't care if you got 4x4 or not, you can end up in a ditch real quick.
and that's a fact. So one of my best hunting tips is to try to hunt as far away off of a hard surface road as you can find, because lots of people come to our area. Nobles County is kind of becoming a pheasant hunting destination, which we're really proud of. I encourage everybody that wants to go chase roosters to come and check out our area of the state. But the ones that are on a hard surface road, a lot of people will drive there because conditions are better. But, we don't really have any dirt roads. Most of them are gravel roads, township roads. And up until this rain, they've all been travelable.
More difficult now, do you think, to get about? Or you got some flooding on some of the roads? Or
I don't think we're at a flooding stage yet. I certainly think that tomorrow will be an issue. We have a 40% chance of rain on Wednesday again. I don't think there's any roads down here that are untravelable as long as you don't mind going to a car wash for an hour and a half when you're done.
Yeah. And that's for the inside of the vehicle.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, though, that's worth noting for those that go to the Dakotas versus hunting Minnesota is we do here in Minnesota get taxed more, and I'll give them this. We do have better roads, and in a minimum maintenance road in Minnesota or a gravel road in Minnesota can be much different than a gravel road in North Dakota or South Dakota.
I would completely concur with that. I would tell you that even if the roads are travelable, and I think that another day or two, they're going to be very navigable. You know, you're certainly going to be able to get around on those. But we hosted 15 veterans that hunted on some of the most pristine private land that Southwest Minnesota has to offer this last weekend. And everybody that had knee boots, almost all of them were over their boots.
Really?
So it's really
wet. Just trying to walk the edges, huh?
Well, most certainly. I always said if you don't mind getting wet, you're going to get wet. But sometimes it's easier to walk through 100 yards of knee-deep water than it is to
may have to get
to circumvent it. Right? We've all been there, right? You just go, you know what? I'll deal with the wet socks later.
Once you're in it, you might as well.
Once you're in it, as long as it doesn't risk hypothermia, a lot of times you're better off. I'll worry about it when I get back to the truck, right?
You know, and we had temperatures down here this weekend that were 65 to 60 degrees, kind of hard on dogs. I can tell you that I would rather wear knee boots and hunt in 45 degrees, which pretty much this week is going to be 45 or 50. We've got a big thing going on in Laverne, Minnesota next weekend called Rooster Reunion. They're bringing a bunch of people back. They hosted the governor's pheasant hunting opener this last season, last year. I was in Austin. They did a fabulous job for the governor's opener. But if you're down here, you better be prepared to be wet because it's drippy. We're the little stream called the Little Rock Creek that runs through my wildlife property that normally only has about 4 to 6 inches of water in it right now is running about 2.5 feet deep.
Whoa. Yeah. You can go fishing, too. Hey, Bob, thank you so much for the update.
All right, Scott, thank you.
The last thing I'll leave you with is that the reports we're getting are far better than expectations. So if you're thinking about going pheasant hunting in Southwest Minnesota, do not hesitate. Grab a truck. It'll get muddy. And come down here and shoot roosters.
Thanks, Scott.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah.
Have a great night, guys.
You bet. I've hunted in those situations, Gary. Probably you have too. Where, you know, that's what's hunting, because you don't know what you're going to get, and you got to fight Mother Nature. That's why I was challenging Ron there in my own way to say, you got to game up now. You got to be better than Mother Nature. You got to outthink, outwit. You got to get a good night's sleep. No alcohol consumed tonight. These are things I'm trying to change about his lifestyle, you know?
Yeah.
And
you how's gotta, that been working?
Yeah. and you got to be ready.
Yeah.
But I have had times, and probably all of us have, especially early, you know, duck openers and whatnot, when I can remember literally where it was so warm and I got water in my boots and it felt so good. You know, it was like, that's refreshing. I don't want to put my face into a slough.
Yeah.
But boy, that water sure feels good and it doesn't bother me at all. And then I don't advocate for that, but I can remember hunting in mid-October in North Dakota years ago on a particular day where it got up to the low 80s.
Yeah.
And I had luckily Under Armour kind of stuff I had on.
Yeah, otherwise it's the other way too much.
Yeah, and I remember going, I can't believe it. It was a wonderful hunting day because there were so many ducks around, but it was in the 80s. Yeah. And by the time you walk back with your decoys and your waders to the car, which was, you know, half mile away, it was a workout.
Yep. Well, the unpredictability, you know, usually doesn't – probably work out for the best or whatever, but no, it's just a fact. Yeah, it's just the way it is.
Every year is different. Every day is different. And so sometimes we forget because we only picture the perfect conditions. Well, that doesn't exist, so get ready. What do we got next?
We've got John Schreyer from Shakopee, and he's going to talk to us, give us some feedback. What might be the circumstance for pheasants? How does it affect ducks, and what's he hearing about
ducks? Yeah, because there is a correlation sometimes, like in South Dakota, when you talk about it. If it's really wet, okay. You may bring your shotgun, but you might want to hunt ducks instead of pheasants.
Well, Ron only has pheasant decoys with, so he's
I know, there's
limited.
A problem again. That's why I'm trying to challenge this guy. Where are your duck decoys? Why didn't you bring them with? Why are you not more adaptable?
Both sets of equipment.
You know what he said? Well, then I'd have to get up really early. Take a break, come back. Live Outdoors.
It's News Talk 830 WCCO's Live Outdoors.
With Ron Shara and Mike Max.
Ron's sitting in a lodge in South Dakota. He may or may not get out and raise that shotgun this next couple days. Huh?
It sounded like he was going to basically watch a few outdoor television shows about pheasant hunting and just take it easy.
Check that box as another form of an outdoor adventure, right?
Yeah, that's it. Dress
see,
up
see
in,
how the others do it in the
dress
business.
Up in all the gear and sit on the couch and watch a hunting show.
That's...
And then, you know, just almost... A virtual hunting trip.
And for those of you at the IRS, he'll still try to write that off.
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
Let's bring John Shores into the conversation, great waterfowler himself. John, how are you?
I'm good. Sitting here with my waders on, listening to sports talk.
That's good stuff.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's a good way to do it. I'd have waders on if I was listening to me, too, for different reasons.
That's right.
Yeah. What have you seen from the waterfowl season in Minnesota so far early, John?
We've been doing quite well. I can give you reports from three different areas, maybe four.
Wow.
Reports from Delta Marsh, friends up there, had a great week. My neighbors out in North Dakota, the vicinity to Devil's Lake, shooting migrant birds, he says. Yeah. We had a little influx from that North Dakota snow, sent northern Minnesota birds south. We've been experiencing ringbills, redheads, gadwalls, green ring teal.
Give me an idea. What area are you hunting without giving your specific secret plans?
We're south of Minnesota, the southern zone. We're shooting calendar birds right now, Mike.
Yeah, they move based on the calendar and the full moon.
Birds that would normally migrate at this time of year, your ringbills, your redheads, some canvasbacks. This is not the big push.
Okay. It's what's expected.
Well, yeah, but that snow through North Dakota kind of triggered things. And that's good. You know, the next couple of days call for a lot of precipitation, but some good, strong northwest winds. Just looked at that forecast. Unfortunately, when those birds get down here, we've got so much groundwater, flooded river bottoms, farmers can't get their crops in. There's so much water, those birds disperse everywhere after being here just a short time. So getting to them's a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, and having, I suppose you have your scouts out currycombing the countryside to see if they spot anything. Is that what it takes when it's like this?
You know, it doesn't hurt to drive an early morning school bus route, which I've been known to do. And that gets me around the countryside out here in my neck of the woods. And I see some local, you know, hot spots. If they've got birds on, and I know there's birds everywhere. So far, I've not seen a lot of geese. But puddlers are starting to move in. The big water's got some divers. And that all bodes well. So, you know, might just restrict some pheasant hunting until... We do some serious waterfowling first.
Yeah, we had Scott Rawl on there, and he said, you know, it's been better than what the forecasts have been. Pheasant hunting down in that southern, you know, around Worthington, that area that he hunts down there, surrounding area and so on. But he said it's drippy and you're going to get wet.
Oh, yeah, count on that. I'm looking for some flooded corn. If I could find permission for some flooded corn, that I think is going to be a key to anything here in the south zone.
Have you seen any flooded corn that's got a lot of birds in it or not?
There's a lot of corn still up. The key is to to find that little tornado over the top.
Right, and that's logging miles it takes that, because all of a sudden you'll see it for about 3 seconds. You'll see three ducks go in there, and you won't realize they're three of 300.
Well, no doubt. Get permission for it, too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Now that helps.
That all helps. Go in there and never shoot them if they're going to jump out of there.
Yep, let them come back in twos and threes and fives.
Put up your spinner and let them, and let's have some fun.
All right, John, I asked this question last week. We had a guy in from the DNR, and he said that this was a good idea that I had. I said, what if I just bought like an acre of land from a farmer?
Yep.
And I flooded it. I grew corn, and let's say I planted the corn in July because I only wanted about knee high.
Sure.
And then I flood it because you're not baiting technically. You're just flooding it. And you got the corn just sticking up, you know, over the water, so it's a great place for them to root. I only need an acre, you know, not even an acre.
Moist soil management, isn't that what they call that?
But he said, yeah, you could do that. I've never heard anybody doing that. Why wouldn't somebody do that, John?
They do that. In
Arkansas, yeah, but I mean,
Missouri.
Up here.
They have one. I thought they were doing some of that, or they were proposing that they were going to do some of that out by Lac La Parle.
Yes, there's
that they were going to flood, managed, put in a system. Basically, I forgot it's been a couple of years since
they did two or three test areas, but I don't know if they've ever even opened that up to public.
But at least they get an idea if it worked, right?
Oh, well,
it will work. They've been doing it in Missouri and Arkansas and elsewhere for...
Okay, let me cut to the chase. I want you to find me that acre of land out there. I know where you live. I'm not that far from you.
All right.
And I'll put an offer in on it, and then we'll work on seeing how we get it flooded.
Do I get a commission on this?
Yeah, if it's based on how many ducks we get.
Uh-huh. All righty.
Well, that's a good deal.
Yeah.
No, it should be done. That would be an opportunity that I would endorse.
I think that the on the moist soil management systems, what the argument was that it doesn't produces more ducks, it attracts ducks.
Right, it holds birds.
So if they're gonna,
the idea for our DNR to do it would be to hold birds in a certain area, and then hopefully they would branch out and local hunters could shoot them off of that site.
Right, yeah, you could make that, exactly, you could make that as well. Yeah, if you flood enough flood of corn.
If you own it, you can hunt it.
But let's say a DNR owned it, they could flood 5 acres and then nobody hunts that, but go set up wherever you want to set up in the area.
Well,
yeah.
Good theory. I wish, we got a duck recovery plan. I don't know if that's been implemented.
The infamous duck recovery plan. I think that was from 2006 to 2007 when we had those rallies.
That's right.
And I thought they were going to do an update of it, because every once in a while at the legislature, somebody will ask, say, whatever happened to that duck recovery plan? Where is that thing?
I'm not holding my breath.
Well, I have visions of it, like in the movie Indiana Jones, where it goes off to some government warehouse someplace with the Ark of the Covenant.
On the shelf, a good plan, but,
We were sure fired up there for a few days.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yep. We did get, we have actually been better than a plan. Forget the plan. At least we've got, the Lessard Council's putting a lot of money into an array of different waterfall-related projects around the state.
Yes, they are. Gary, any concern that we got too many politicians sitting on that citizens panel?
Well, the law is basically that, a public member, so the rules haven't changed since 07, 08. That started right out of the gate. They had a staff person that was appointed there.
Sure. Bob Schroeder.
Yeah, which raised some issues over in the Senate, raised some questions on it. The main thing is, number one, at least with the Lessard Council, is that the projects come in uninhibited.
Right.
You could probably blindfold a lot of people and have people at random, and they probably would end up pretty close to the same types of projects being funded if they read through them. There's concerns. You want to have – we have hundreds of thousands of sportsmen who, were involved in this or voted for this or supported it or whatever it is that should get a chance to serve. So I'm mainly concerned with – having a system that gets enough new people on that council, like yourself, should
like
be
myself.
On it.
And I do have an interest, but maybe I don't know enough important people.
Well, you're talking to Gary right now, and I can get you in touch with Ron Scherer. I can get you in touch with some important people.
Yeah, that's right. And then
Ron is now a vice chair, correct? That's a good move.
Yeah, yeah, he's vice chair of the council. So they get nearly $120 million of wildlife-related projects.
What the hell with my idea? I want them to flood the corn for me. I'll do a little application.
Moist soil management. Yeah, I forgot
moist
what the
concept. Moist soil management. That's what I'm going to call it. If I headline it that way, instead of duck hunting paradise, maybe I'll get it.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Moist soil management.
Exactly. It sounds more scientific.
Yes, and more conservation-oriented.
I mean? Versus just you want to get your limited ducks.
Instead of the slaughter pond, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Slaughter pond versus moist soil management. Same thing.
Now, John, did you get some early geese?
I really didn't have the opportunity this year, Mike. And our field hunting is really decreased in this neck of the woods.
Really? How come?
Development.
Development. Just not enough places.
Development. One field, and that I just couldn't swing it with the MWA situation.
Mm-hmm.
Very distracted. Took that early season away from me. We have shot a few geese over water. I am looking forward to the one field that we still have and operate. We get any influx of geese here, and really not seen a lot. They'll come.
What about the thing that I'm hearing a fair amount about is some sportsmen being interested in an early teal season? Are you hearing anything on that?
I think there's a certain amount of interest in that. MOHA did, Minnesota Heritage Alliance, did outreach down at Swan Lake, and there was a couple of fellas down there talking about early teal. We tried it once years ago. It was a one-time experiment with varying degrees of success. Now, the guy that was proposing it, a friend of Fred Freilich, by the way, he's old. He wants early season. He wants warm weather duck killing. And I don't have a problem with that.
And How early are we talking?
Pardon me?
How early? Mid-September, what?
Well, it's like the others. Yeah. Before our opener, which is now earlier.
How many states have an early teal season?
I really can't tell you, but up and down the Mississippi Flyway, there's a number of them.
Yeah. Problem is those things fly fast.
South, in the South, it's religion. I told this gentleman, Fred's buddy, Greg, I think is his name, that I would support his efforts just as long as they support my efforts to shoot mallards into late December.
Okay.
There's a trade-off.
Isn't this some kind of thing they're talking about, quid pro quo or whatever it is? So you want your your ducks in your pot, and then you'll support.
So, John, you're saying, we raise these. We're not talking about migrators here. We're talking about ones that have been living in the river.
This gentleman is too old to freeze his behind off, and I understand that. I explained to him, I'm only 65. I can still handle the weather, and I hate it when mallard shooting ends December 4th, when we can kill them after New Year's if we want it.
Yep. You keep pushing on that stuff, but first and foremost, let's get back to that 1 acre I want you to find me, okay?
Moist soil management system.
Moist soil management.
We need to move NX, North and South Dakota. Call it Mindakota.
Well, yeah, I proposed that before, too, but it didn't go anywhere.
What do you mean?
Just assume Minnesota should just take over North Dakota and South Dakota and just,
Mindakota.
You mean run their seasons?
Yeah, run their states. Yeah, and then we'll just have those as outdoor paradises and run it.
Yeah, we won't have to do this 2 14-day license. We get
right,
one
exactly.
license.
We buy one license. Make it simpler for everybody. We start working our road system up there.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, John, we got good synergy tonight. I'm glad we came up with these ideas to change the world.
We won't mess the flag up if we, give Puerto Rico and another province a star. We don't mess up the flag.
You're right. We'd have to give somebody else, make them a state if we made a 3-for-1.
I think we could do this.
The only downside in doing it is that Ron's trek to South Dakota less like Lewis and Clark and more like an excursion to a suburb.
Yeah, that's not so good. Hey, John, thank you so much.
You bet. at you guys. Have a good rest of your hunting season, whatever you endeavor to do.
You got it. John Shore is nice enough to join us. I'll try to solve one or two more problems before we go. Mike, Max, Gary, Leaf. 8 o'clock, Sports to the Max. Tony Sano will be one of my guests. He was at the Loon game last night. Talked to him over there. Gordy Shaw will join us. Lots of good stuff straight ahead. Welcome back, Live Outdoors, Mike Max, Gary Leaf. It is the best time of the year in so many respects, you know.
It is. It is. And it's just
deer hunting we'll be talking about soon. Guys are still fishing.
Yep. The ice fishing show is in December. That's only, a month?
Yeah.
That's not that far away.
Not
December,
that far away,
first,
no.
You know, pretty soon we'll be talking about the Northwest Sports Show.
No, we can't get that far ahead of ourselves.
Oh, okay.
So we always have to take in and soak in as much October, November as we
can
get.
Well, yeah, like I said, this year, for whatever reason, I feel like I don't remember summer as fondly as
no, and this fall's just been different. I mean, if you can't, you know, obviously they've had luck in Worthington, so maybe I'm a little bit remiss. And one of the things that I tend to do is I assume if the weather's not conducive, then no one's getting ducks because I haven't been out hunting. And I remember a few years ago, my brother said, just keep telling people that because I'm having the time of my life shooting pheasants this year.
Yeah.
Because nobody's hunting, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, John was making the point of talking about an early teal season, you know, and a lot we've seen the numbers, you know, as far as waterfall falling decline and so on. I wonder what ewes would if you, that would spur youth hunting in some
it's a good
minor
question,
way.
Fair question. We have the youth hunt course already, but would warm weather would that be more of an appeal for those?
Well,
people
I think
that
at the end of the day,
fence,
they
got
to get something. That's why there's still a lot of kids.
And they don't
want to
be uncomfortable the first time they go out, probably, right?
Right. Well, you don't want to sit
there.
If
you associate it with snow and wind and rain, but if you go in September, you're okay.
Yeah. Well, when you see the snow and rain and all that and so on, it's usually when duck hunting's been really good, and that memory sticks in there. So the 1 out of 5 times it's really good, and the 4 or 5 times it's not so good or more or whatever, that's the memory drives you back.
Yeah, I don't know how much that would curb the numbers, but it'd be fun to try it.
Yeah.
You know,
along with the moist soil management.
Yeah, with that
system.
Moist soil, what do we call it? The moist soil what? Management.
Moist management, yeah.
Along with my moist soil management program.
Right.
You know, we might have a heck of a time in September.
Versus duck killing slough.
Yeah, I would never have a duck killing slough or a slaughter pond or anything like that, but I would have a moist soil management where we flood the corn.
Which attracts the ducks.
Which attracts the ducks, yeah.
For conservation purposes.
Yeah, I'd let classes observe it from the road as long as they didn't come in and screw up my hunt.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Gary, thank you so much for coming in. I hope Ron's comfortable. Ron, put that cigar out.
Hey.
Put that glass down. You got to go hunting tomorrow, and you're up against Mother Nature. Sports to the Max, talking soccer with Tony Sano. We'll be back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.